and okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get another rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Friends, enemies, and anyone in between, welcome back to the show that never ends, The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. We're bringing back a bigger, a badder, a better Red Zone than we've ever had before. We're going double dosage of Red Zone, 2 hours tonight for our last show of the semester, our last show ever. There will never be another show like the one you are in store for tonight. Welcome to the show. We are back in triple threat formation. I am Leo Stauder, your sports director here at WZND. Once again, my regular co-host is Joey Dwyer of the Quad City Storm of WZND. Production department.
And just to give everybody a little bit of context, we were, at least Leo and I were in Las Vegas earlier this week at a convention. We have matching Red Zone tattoos right on the backside. Yeah. So,
if we get
enough Twitter interactions, Leo and I will post a picture.
Yeah. What happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas.
Was it on the booty too? okay, so I'm taking that as a yes, then, maybe.
And that voice you just heard was our producer, Mr. Joe Kennedy of TV 10 News of the Naperville Trolley Company. And we're going to try to get back on the rails here. I'm feeling it, guys.
It's going to be a great show.
Yeah. Great show.
It's our last show.
Not in tune for today.
Yeah, and we do have a lot in store. So just to take the audience through what we have planned for tonight, it's going to be a little different than normal, but I think it'll still be a show worth listening to, because for the first hour, we're going to have the WZND News and Sports seniors on the show. We're going to talk about their journey here at ISU, talk about their future plans, some favorite memories. It's always one of my favorite shows of the year because you hear some really cool things, just hearing about all of our different seniors. Then the next hour, we're going to talk some ISU sports. We're going to talk some NFL draft, and then we're going to wrap things up with some of our favorite memories. So let's get into it. I guess our first senior, probably the biggest one, probably the most important one,
MVP.
Our MVP, our News and Sports Operations Director, WZND Director of the Semester, 4 out of the past 5 semesters. We won't get into what happened to that.
what a dynasty.
Yeah. It's Maritza Navarro-Lopez, one of the longest tenured directors we've probably ever had, and a close friend to all of us, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so nice. Thank you. That was such a sweet introduction.
And that's where the niceties stop.
Yeah. I know. And I expected that.
Now it's time for the roast.
Now we're hard-hitting questions.
Just like every regular day.
Yeah. That's typical.
So let's get into it. Maybe with a little bit of background. So you're from Aurora, Illinois. I think you went to Aurora East, East Aurora, whichever mm-hmm. one it is.
Yeah.
What brought you to Illinois State University, School of Comm, WZND, all that stuff? I know that's all kind of in one. So tell us a little bit about how you got started here.
So I'm a first-generation student. So when I was doing my search for college, I didn't know what I was looking at. I honestly only really knew about Loyola in Chicago mm-hmm. and like UIC and maybe U of I in Champaign. So I wasn't even, like, ISU was not on my radar until my track coach, because I was on track and cross country, he was an ISU alumni, and he always wore his Redbird stuff, and he would ask me, like, what I wanted to pursue. I wasn't sure. I just knew I wanted to write. So he told me that ISU had a really cool communication program and, like, broadcasting program. So had he not given me that, like, nudge to, like, you know, apply and, like, try to look into ISU, I don't even think I would have ended up here. So it was actually thanks to him, his little soft nudge allowed me to kind of find some more info on it and be like, you know what, ISU looks like home. Like, it looks really cool. Like, there was something different about this university to everywhere else I had toured that I was like, you know what, this is kind of where I feel like I belong.
And so when you came to ZND initially, this is a little insider secret, but you didn't get accepted the first time.
That's a lie.
Oh, wait. Oh, did you just not go?
No, I've been here for 4 years.
Yes.
I was accepted.
Okay, so what made you talk about what got you to ISU. what was so appealing about ZND? Because there are a lot of other, you have the Vedette, you have TV10, which is a class, obviously, but you have to kind of work your way up. But there are a lot of other options for communication students here. What made you come to ZND?
Okay, that's also a really funny story. I was just on the quad during Festival ISU. I'm very shy and reserved. Like, I'm not like that anymore, obviously, but I was really, really quiet. And during Festival ISU, I had gone to like the astrology club and like the running club, the things that I knew that I liked. And then I was walking by an empty table that had a bunch of little flyers with microphones on it. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I grabbed it, and it was like a radio station flyer, which is WZND. And it said that they were having a meeting tonight. And it was at the same time as my running meeting, like the running club. So I kind of split my time. I went to the ZND one first to kind of see what it was all about. And then I saw a bunch of people in suits introducing themselves and talking about radio and news. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. But I want to do it. I want to try it. So that's just a little flyer I found on the ground with nobody else to tell me about it is how I came here.
And you kind of hit the ground running. I mean, you were a director as a sophomore, an underclassman. When we were still figuring out how to do things here, you were taking charge in a leadership position. What was that like, you know, being in charge at such a younger age, and how did that prepare you for where you are now, I guess?
It was really hard because most of the staff at that point was older than me, had more experience than me, were better writers than me, and were in all these classes that I hadn't even taken. Like, I was still trying to learn about AP writing. So being a director and trying to tell these people what to do and, like, you know, what stories to cover, it was really hard. But eventually I did enough work, and like, I tried really hard at everything that I was doing that I feel like I kind of garnered that respect from the people that were above me. And then eventually I started to be the person hiring and training, and people started to kind of give me that respect because I was with them so much and like putting my time in at the station. And since then, it's honestly just been like really fun. Before it kind of felt like work because I was trying to learn and do as much as I could. And now it just feels like second nature.
Mm-hmm. And so coming here, you're doing all that stuff. What do you think that's going to help you with your future after college and everything? And what's that going to help you with your profession?
Yeah, I think here I kind of learned, like I said, I was really, really reserved before I got to ZND and ISU. So when I came here, I didn't know about broadcasting. I didn't know about journalism. Like, East Aurora did not have any of those type of courses. So when I got here, I didn't know. So I knew I had to ask questions and ask as many questions as I could. And, you know, I wasn't afraid to run down the hall and be like, Steve, like, I don't know how to do this. Like, can you help me? So I feel like moving forward, all you ever get told now is don't be afraid to ask questions. Yeah. And now I feel like I've really jumped over that hoop.
Mm-hmm. So you've been at ZND for a very long time, as have we all. But do you have a story? Type it over there.
Yeah.
So do you have a story, whether it's in the office or just hanging out with people from the station, that reigns supreme as like your memory when 10 years from now, when you look back at ZND, what you're going to remember?
I have one, and it's probably one I'm going to say a lot for, like, the next week when we keep talking about ZND. There was a time where I was kind of switching between director positions, between news director and then two news and sports operations director, which is my position now. And I was kind of really against that idea. I didn't really know what I was doing. Like I said, I was a sophomore at the time. I was a first-semester director. I could barely learn how to do AP writing, so I was just trying to get it together. And I kept getting kind of pushed, and people were telling me to go for this position that was higher than mine, and I just felt like I didn't know anything. I couldn't take that position yet. Like, what do I know about sports? Sports to even try to guide a team of 30 people. But after a couple of conversations, I did it. I went for it, and I got it, and I had the option between news and sports operations director and news director. So basically, they told me, pick one, because I went for both. And when I saw that I had that option, I got really overwhelmed in the hallway, and I started to cry because I had, like, a panic attack, and I couldn't, like, get myself together. And one of the older directors at the time, she saw me freaking out, and she pulled me into her office, and she just had a sit-down conversation with me about, like, they knew that I was ready for it, and that's why everybody was pushing me towards it. But even though I didn't feel that way, everyone else saw me like that. And to me, I'm a sophomore who thinks no one cares about her. So seeing that, it just, like, meant a lot to me. And after she calmed me down and we opened the door, there was people like Hector Carrion, who was a sports director at the time, and a bunch of other people that really meant a lot to me. And when they opened the door, I saw them there, and they all, like, hugged me. And it was just, to me, it was fulfilling to feel like, you know, this is a family. It's not just me being me.
Mm-hmm. So talking about some of your past memories, now knowing what you know now, what would be one piece of advice you'd go back and give to yourself first semester freshman year?
Probably to not be so scared. I feel like I was really scared of taking the position or going to the next position or, you know, doing like kind of harder stories. Like, I felt like I was really scared to do them because I felt like I would do something wrong because, like I said, I was still learning. But I feel like if I was just not as scared as I was, I feel like I could have been so much more. I don't know what more, but I feel like I could have done more.
And
I got one more. Looking back at your time here, do you have a favorite story or maybe like something in Bird's Eye View that you guys did that you just really liked and you feel really proud of your time that you did here?
Yeah, I think my favorite one, it was one that we won a CBI award, College Broadcasters Inc. for. It was during the, like, not peak pandemic, but pandemic was still pretty bad. And we were just seeing anti-Asian hate across the country. And me, Anna Marie, my big producer at the time, were just like, you know what? There's this big topic at hand. And we haven't really talked about it here in Central Illinois because there's not a huge Asian community that we knew of. So then when we pursued that and tried to see what angles could we take that related to our community here on campus, in our community, you know, surrounding us, we saw that it was a lot more and we learned so much ourselves and the pieces all flowed really well. And it just felt fulfilling to be like, you know, we learned, our reporters learned, and also maybe we did teach the community a thing or two about how that relates to Central Illinois.
So what's next? Obviously, you've built up quite an impressive resume here. What are you doing after this?
So after this, I'm actually going to dabble and transfer my skills into a couple other areas of communication. I'll be taking an internship with Walker Sands in downtown Chicago, working in public relations / marketing agency. So I'm really excited to kind of learn something new. I like to challenge myself as much as I can. So if I can take my skills and kind of become bigger and better, I'd like to do that.
So real quick before we throw it to break, this is shout out time. Got anyone in particular you want to thank for anything? Now let them hear it.
Two people. Ashley Antonini. She was my first news and sports operations director, and she always believed in me and always told me to, like, do as much as I could. But, like, to me, she was someone who was so above me. She was just, like, hyping me up. I was, like, a little freshman. But now that I see her and I'm older now, she really did mean those things, and she still means those things, and she still supports me from afar, and that just means the world to me.
That sounds like exactly like you're talking about yourself, too, right there. I mean, like, it's true. Like, the things you're impacting people now, that they're the sophomores, I feel. I mean, that's like the same, like, little connection.
Yeah, and she tells me that too. She's always saying, like, you know, the way that you feel about me, there's so many people that feel that way about you on your team. You just exactly. It's just that legacy you leave behind.
Yeah.
And the other one would be Hector Carrion. Hector Carrion was a sweet, sweet darling. I was only with him director for a semester, but he supported me when I was just trying to figure out what I was doing as a leader. And every time I would stumble, every time I would freak out, he was just always there to keep me calm. So I've always loved that.
Well, Maritza, it's been an absolute ride getting to work under you these past few semesters. It's been great to be a coworker of yours, great to be your friend. We can't wait to see what you do next. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cameron Kelly, our news director, is going to join the show. You're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Katie Weimerskirch, and you're listening to the Red Zone.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Leo Stoddard, Joey Dwyer, Joe Kennedy, and now we're joined by Cameron Kelly, WZND's very own news director. And Cammy comes from Harvey, Illinois. She's someone that whenever we have on the show, because she's a news person, but she does some sports, and she always brings really cool topics to Red Zone, some stuff we've submitted to awards for awards about the NIL and some other topics. So isn't her first time on the show, but it's always a good time when we do have her on the show. So Cammy, first things first, congratulations on graduating, and thank you for being part of our Red Zone journey. I guess we'll start same way we started with Maritza. Talk about what brought you to Illinois State, and then in fold with that, what brought you to WZND? Because you weren't here as long as Maritza, but you had an interesting way of ending up here.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And that was a really cute introduction. but I started at Illinois State because, well, number one, she's like my sister, but she's my cousin. She's on the volleyball team here all 4 years. So when I was younger, we would come watch her, and I'd be at Redbird Arena like, wow. Like, I thought I was like at the WNBA games, but it was volleyball. Yeah. So I would see her perform a lot. Then my sister also was like in band, so we'd come to Illinois State a lot for a lot of band competitions. And then when I was in high school, I was a speech kid, but I did radio. That was my event. And I did informational speaking as well. And during that process, I did speech camp here, and it was like 1 week in the summer when I was like in high school. So I would kind of stay in the dorms and stuff like that. So I kind of got an idea of what Illinois State University was. And then I was like, you know what? I'll think about it, because one day one of the coaches for forensics here took me down to like TV 10, was like, you could be here, you could be on TV. And I'm like, wow, I want to do that one day. So she took me down there to like the green room and like the studios and stuff like that, and I was just like, you know what, I can see myself here. But as far as WZND, my freshman year, I actually tried to be a part of the team. I went to like the big meeting, the general meeting, and there was just so many people there. And when it got to me to get like the little like form to sign my name up for like a meeting or for like a interview, all of them were taken up. So I was just like, oh geez. So I was like, you know what, I'll try again some other time. But I had never revisited that thought again until my junior year of college, when I was with one of like the former news directors. She came up to me and was just like, hey, you should think about WZND. And I'm like, you know what, like I'll actually try that, because junior year is when I truly started my news and journalism journey. So this is just my second year here.
And no, go ahead.
I was going to follow up from that because you've had an interesting news journey. You've kind of done it all here in student media at Illinois State. You've done TV10, you've done WGLT, you've done The Vedette.
Yeah.
So how has sampling kind of a little bit of everything, how has that made you a better journalist, I guess? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so you're right, Leo. What they say at IMBA is Cameron Kelly has done everything here at Illinois State University. I say you're exactly right. I think I learned so many things in every aspect. As in WGLT, I really learned how to be a professional writer. I learned how to have a better presence on air, and I can say that here at WZND too, because we get those reps in every week doing our newscasts as well as our stories. The Vedette was kind of like a freestyle thing where I could just be Cam-a-Cam, and I was able to do like my own little podcast, and I try to use the Spanish aspect. As you guys know, I also studying Spanish, so I was able to like talk to some of my friends in Spanish, so it was kind of fun. So I feel like it has made me a better journalist to try to like learn different things from different people. And I feel like the WGLT aspect was I was working with people who were older and who've had the experience. You know, WZND, it's like it's student ran, so I'm working with students who have learned from other students that have helped them be successful. And then on the Vedette side of things, it was kind of cool to just kind of be a part of a newspaper, because I've never been a part of a newspaper when it was a newspaper at the time. But I did a lot of things like media related with the podcast. But I just have picked up certain things from certain people who've had just so much experience in the journalism field. And it has helped me become a better journalist because I've understood what they have done. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to also talking about you foreshadowing your future a little bit, doing speech and radio in high school. You also stayed in the dorms when you came down here in high school, and now you've been an RA for 2 years.
Isn't that crazy, you guys?
I've just been living there ever since.
I can't leave.
And
so that's one of the funniest things, because when we're all talking, like when we all go hang out and whatever after the show or after some weekend, we're all talking about who's going to host. It's never Cameron Kelly.
Unless y'all want to party in the lounge. I already told you.
Okay, I will say, though, to Cammy's defense, she brought in a bunch of snacks that were left over from the RAs today, and that was big.
I had like three cans
of the little Pringles. I had a Rice Krispie treat. Like,
ooh, I got you good, didn't I, Dwayne?
And that brings me to one of the things that I appreciate about you the most is everyone in the studio right now can attest that I'm a little bit of a seagull. I'm a little bit of a vulture when it comes to people bringing food into the office because I forget to eat. And then people will bring in food. And nobody has brought me more food in my darkest days than Cameron Kelly. There are some days where like I just don't want to be here. I have so much work to do, and Cammy will bring me a Wadi chicken sandwich.
And, like, that's because that's all I can do for that day.
And like it brings tears to my eyes. How sweet it is. I wanted to take the time to say I appreciate how much you let me mooch off of you.
Of course, look, I said I'm working hard, but you know all that food goes to waste. We gotta eat.
There we go.
We're
all
a family.
Have to eat.
We gotta eat.
But I asked Maritza this question too before, but you've done a lot of stories here, and obviously TV10, Vedette, but what's your favorite one you've done here? Maybe something that including in Biv or just a story in general? What's your top?
Yeah, so this semester was unfortunate with the passing of Jelani Day, and I feel as if that was like the greatest or the most emotional and moving stories I have ever done, and as a journalist, and I think that really pushed me because I think that I had to do a lot of things that were hard, as well as like talk to his family members. I talked to his older brother, Save A Day, and I just remember my feelings right before doing it, and I was just like, I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable, but I also want his story to be heard. So it made me push myself as a journalist to go out and talk to him and talk to his family. I've went to like marches and different protests as well as memorial services, and that has to be like one of the favorite stories that I've covered. Not that it was, it was a very sad ending, but it really pushed me as a journalist and made me try something a little bit more harder for myself. And I feel like you guys know me. I'm very much, hi guys, how are you?
I wanted to get into that part.
Yeah, I'm always like screaming and I'm always happy, but it made me really realize that, you know, like we're all human. People have stories, like life goes on, life moves. And it really slowed me down as a journalist to think about my own life as well as our community here on campus. So that has to be one of the favorite or one of my favorite things that I've ever covered.
And talking about getting into the hard news, I mean, you came to WZND in the fall of 2020. That was a crazy time for news. There was no playbook for how to cover that. We're still student journalists. We're still learning. Mm-hmm. How did you go about covering everything that was happening this past 2 years, really, while still learning how to do journalism ethically? Because there was no script for how to do what we've done the past four semesters. But how did you kind of get by with some of these topics we've had to hit?
Yeah, it's been some really hard topics. Like you said, one of my favorite or like hard stories I covered, I feel like it wasn't really hard. It was kind of actually cool, but it was also very scary, was the train derail, but like it became a fire. I think that was one of like my stories that I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna do it. But deep down inside, I just have that passion to tell a story. And I knew that there were probably people there who were hurting or people who were like going through something. So I was just like, I want to, you know, hear what they have to say. And as well as I was taking those ethical classes, Leo. So I think that that aspect kind of helped me understand.
As,
So I feel like those classes kind of helped me
to clear something up.
Yeah.
Is it? I can't remember if this is true or if this is urban legend. Did you get frostbite while you were covering that train derailment?
I did get frostbite. I was like in the ER like the next day, and they were like, "Honey, what's going on? You need to get here quickly." I was like, "You know what? The news don't stop. I'll be there."
Exactly.
So I did get frostbite, but it was like one of the most viewed stories at WZND. Like I think that year, the spring of 2020.
If I recall, like the engagement on our website was nuts with that.
Yeah.
Story.
So look, I said after that, yo, I don't really mind a little frostbite.
But Kim, you always bring the vibes down here. I mean, your energy.
You.
I never see you like down here. I mean, you know, like sad down here or something. Like your negative vibes, and you never bring them down here. But I want to ask you, do you have an embarrassing moment that you've had
here
down
at the
here
station?
There's something funny that might have happened
you
remember, like,
it could have been something embarrassing about the Red Zone crew too.
Yeah,
if you got a story
about us, it
doesn't have
to be about you, I guess.
Stop.
But just like some funny
either
moment
either put
down
yourself
here
on blast or put one of us on
you know
blast.
I put myself on black blast as on black.
you know
But I would put myself on blast. But I literally cannot think of like an embarrassing story right now. Well, this is pretty embarrassing if you ask me.
There we go.
Here's a story.
Do you have like a funny story from down here?
Story?
Just like,
or like some random person like that might have graduated like 2 years ago.
You guys, like, I'm literally blanking.
I feel like every day kind of is funny.
No, you guys know my life is a movie. I come down here stressed every day. I'm like, oh my God.
I can't think of.
No, literally, I'm screaming. That's my favorite thing to say. Joe Clandy knows. I always say, I'm screaming. Trying to conserve energy. But no, I literally cannot think of a story. And then literally something embarrassing is going to happen to me, like, literally in 30 seconds when I'm off of this.
No, sorry. So maybe going to the more serious sides, I think we asked Maritz the same question. What would be something you'd go back and tell yourself first semester of college when you got here at ISU?
To start early, push myself to do journalism. I feel like I didn't start very quickly because I was very nervous. Mm-hmm. So even though I came out to that informational at WZND, I never came back. And that is an issue, too. I should have pursued myself and pushed myself to say, Cameron, come back that second semester and see what you can do. I was very nervous because I felt that I wasn't very equipped. But this is the place to equip yourself. So I think I would tell myself, Cameron, go back to that informational or, you know, pay attention to what's going on. I think I was having a little too much fun at college. And then a junior year hit. And I was like, Cameron, get it together. Think about what your future and like what you want to do. So I think I would tell myself to, you know, pop out a little earlier.
So what's next for you? What you're graduating in, what, 9 days?
Yeah.
And then you've got a whole life in front of you. What are the first steps?
Definitely want to do broadcast TV. Don't know where yet. We're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
I do want to go to law school in the future, and I want to help people. This might be extreme, but I want to help people who are on death row who do not have fair trials. I want to work for Equal Justice Initiative, and I really like the
That'd
organization.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's something I would like to do in the future, but I definitely need a mental break for about 2 years before I do law school, because you guys know how I just get up and start walking around when I need something to do. So I need to figure that out before I go back to school. But those are some plans of mine for the future.
Awesome. So, okay, I guess we'll wrap it up with shout-out time again.
Yeah.
Who do you want to thank? Anybody in particular you want to mention with somebody? Probably your last airtime at WZND, too.
Yeah, don't say that right now.
We got Biv, no?
Oh, you're right. Look, Joe Kennedy has me. Well, I'm going to plug
Biv
right now. Come
week
at 11:20, listen to
program.
WZND Fuse Radio.
Yeah.
But I do want to shout-out someone like close and dear to my heart, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has always pushed me to do my absolute best. She always says, Cameron, you can do it. I remember when I was a little girl, I was like, Mom, I want to be on the news. And she was like, you can do that. And I was like literally like 4 years old. I would just see someone at like ABC 7 just sitting at the desk, and I was like, Mom, I want to do that. And she was like, you can do that. And look at me now, you guys. Like, I've done some of that stuff here.
You're
in
on
college.
On the way there, yeah.
On the way there.
Yeah.
So I have to say shout out to my mom and Rocky. I gotta look.
Yeah.
That's Joey's boy right there. I gotta shout out my dad too. And my dad has always pushed me, and he's the one that's paying for me to be here right now. So shout out to my dad and my sister too, as well as all you guys, specifically Maritza too, who has pushed me. I didn't even think I would ever be a news director. That didn't even come a thought into the mind, to be honest with you. I was just like, you know what, I'll just be an intern. I like doing news. I like reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me, you can do it. You know that, right? And I was like, what? She's like, you can do it. Like, I believe in you. You know, try it. So I have to say shout out to Maritza for always pushing me to be the best version of myself, even when I don't feel like I'm in the best version of myself. So shout out to Maritza and all of you guys. Leo, you too, because you've been like one of my right hands as well. So you're like a brother to me.
Aww. I never saw that.
Shout out to you, Cammie. I mean, you're the one who's been putting through with all of our stuff and helping us as journalists, so we can't thank you enough for everything you've done for us, too.
Stop. But it's been a pleasure being with all you guys and working with you guys these last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to echo all that it's been great to get to work with you, great to be your friend, and spend so much time these last few semesters. We can't wait to see what is next for you. Looking forward to seeing you on the news someday.
Yeah, baby.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have some news. Eric Schweizer's joining the show. You're not going to want to miss that. That's next on The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Recognized for excellence in news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the 103.3 WZND News Team brings you the latest in local and national news. Your bottom of the hour news starts now, only on 103.3 WZND.
It's currently 59 degrees on the campus of Illinois State University. Good evening. I'm Eric Schweizer, and here's your news now at 5:30. In local news, Normal Community and Olympia High School students reach new heights thanks to State Farm STEM mentoring. State Farm IT operations, mentors, and computer science students from Normal Community High School and Olympia High School will be launching a high-altitude weather balloon at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow. The effort is part of State Farm's ongoing support of STEM. And in national news, your dog's personality may have less to do with its breed than you thought. According to the Associated Press, research by a geneticist from the University of Massachusetts could not find any significant proof that breeds have impact on your dog's personality. In other national news, researchers in Texas found dozens of creepy dolls on Gulf Coast beaches. According to United Press International, researchers from the University of Texas Marine Science Institute survey about 40 miles of Gulf Coast beach and have been using social media to document eerie discoveries. The first doll was found in January 2021, and they have been collecting them over time and are selling them at their annual fundraising auction. And in local sports, not a lot happening, but the ISU track and field team is competing at the Drake Relays today. And in national sports, the NFL draft is tonight, but the Chicago Bears right now don't have a first-round pick, so you have to wait around until tomorrow night to see who they snag. And in MLB, the Chicago White Sox were playing earlier this afternoon, and the Cubs will play the Atlanta Braves at 6:20, and the St. Louis Cardinals host the Arizona Diamondbacks at 6:45. And now taking a look at your 103.3 WZND weather forecast, it's been a cloudy one today and should stay that way throughout the night with temperatures in the low 50s, and you want your rain jackets out for the next couple of days, as tomorrow there's a 70% chance of rain starting around 9 a.m. and possible thunderstorms on Saturday. And with 60 newscasts a week and 24/7 online coverage, WZND brings you your news now. I'm Eric Schweizer.
Yeah! There he is. Final newscast for him.
Oh, it's all over.
You heard his intro. That is our next guest, Mr. Eric Schweizer from Fairbury, Illinois. He's been with WZND for just 3 semesters, which I always forget.
I know.
I feel like he's been here for so much longer. But Eric comes, he was a transfer student from Heartland Community College, and he just hit the ground running from day one with us, basically, has just been someone we can always count on, someone who really just figured things out on the fly when we needed it most in the spring of 21 when we had so many games. Eric, welcome to the show, and congratulations again on graduating. I'll start you off the same way I've started everybody else so far. What brought you to Illinois State and WZND in particular?
So I went to Heartland, not really knowing what I wanted to do, and then by the end of it, you know, it was my fourth semester at Heartland. I was like, I really need to figure out what's next. And I guess like the third semester, I was like, man, you know what? My grandma is like, you should just chase your dream of like covering sports. That's what you like to do. You'll be happy if you, you know, go into something you like. So Illinois State, I saw what my buddy Jake Fogle was doing here, and it was kind of like, all right, it's close to home. I have a lot of friends in the area. This will be perfect. So I applied, got in, and now I'm here, very, very happy to have met new people along the way as well.
And Eric is, as a show, probably one of our favorite people who works down here.
Yeah.
We love Eric so much.
And I mean, that goes for everyone, though.
Yeah, right?
Everyone loves this guy.
Everybody loves this guy. And the funniest thing is Leo and I talk about it all the time, about how we think about when was the moment that we all became friends, because we all work together, but there's always a moment where you become friends with somebody. And for Eric, It was.
Are you telling the story?
Yeah, it was. Okay. Just, we were hanging out at Leo's watching the NFL draft. What last?
I think it was before the draft.
Or was it just a random night we were hanging out?
It was a random night because Evola was the draft night.
Oh, you're right.
Eric was before that.
So we're just hanging out at Leo's, and I think it was like me, Leo, Joe, and maybe somebody else, and we're sitting there like, man, who could we get out tonight?
And it was like 11:30 on a Friday. Like at that point, people weren't coming.
And Leo's like,
because I think we might have called some other people. Yeah, yeah,
Leo,
no offense.
Leo's like, what about that Eric kid? And so we call Rick, and this just is like the whole summation of Eric Schweizer is he like didn't know us that well. It was super late on a Friday night. This kid still came out, and we had a great time. And that's when we knew he was down for whatever. What
still
a great guy. And they're like, I just had to blush about Eric a little bit because we just love this guy so much.
Yeah. But Eric, you've done multiple calls. I've been on calls with you multiple times. Is there a specific one or moment that you had when you're on a call that you're just always going to look back at here?
My first big moment was when I got a call the Missouri Valley Championship game for volleyball here last year. But I think like one of my favorite calls was getting to call Arch Madness. Mm-hmm. You know, you were there with me, obviously not on the call, but it was, you know, BMAC and then Andrew. Mm-hmm. Both of you, just being able to bounce between two people is kind of nice. And going back and forth, I just thought it flowed the best. Illinois State lost, but I have a very memorable call with Joey Dwyer, one of my first moments, a rain delay, but we'll save that for later.
I mean, just look at you guys right here, right now. I think you three are the ones I've done the most calls with, too, so... A little fun fact out here.
There was a big streak there where Joe and I were doing men's basketball game. We were basically the voice of Redbirds men's basketball. We were doing every single game.
But so, Eric, you're another one where you've done some different student media outlets here at Illinois State. You've done WZND, you've done TV10, and you did the Vedette. How did that experience of being involved with all three help you become more well-rounded as a broadcaster, as a journalist, and all that?
You know, it started with the Vedette. Jake Fogle got me to apply there, and he also got me to apply here. He's like, we really need people apply, so like he got me into both of those. The Vedette really is where I was able to round out like my writing. I feel like I became a much better writer by being at the Vedette. For the first semester, I wasn't even on sports because there really wasn't sports, so I was like news and features, and so that really like helped me kind of learn to cover stuff that you might not necessarily love to cover, but like you can still become a better writer. Then WZND, I was able to take my writing, use that, but also be able to be on air, which was kind of cool. And that's something I've always wanted to do. I like talking about sports. I feel like if I'm with the right people where you click, you can talk about sports forever. So like, love being able to do that. And then TV, you know, I learned how to use a camera, be on air, because I've always been kind of camera shy until that kind of brought me out of my shell. And it was like, you got to get comfortable in front of the camera just to do it, just so you like have that versatility.
Mm-hmm. And Eric, every time I'm with you, I think I laugh at least one time. I mean, we always have a fun time together. Even if it's down here, you have a funny moment, or I guess came this embarrassing moment maybe that we had it here at the station that, I mean, you're going to look back and be like, man, what the heck?
I think the first time I ever laughed on air was with Joey Dwyer.
From these two guys?
No, it was with Joey Dwyer. We're like, how do we fill time in a rain delay of a softball doubleheader that we're supposed to be here for 6 hours? And then I'm just like, I'll just do a weather recap.
Oh my God.
I just start laughing. I was like, oh, I got this. I just start laughing as soon as I start. Because I say, the green area means rain. it was very vague.
And we were doing this softball game, and we're out in the tent. We're not even like in the trailer for the softball game. And it's rain is coming down. We're still waiting to hear from the SIDs. And so we're just killing time however we can. And God bless Anna Marie Schutt, who is in the studio, because she had to deal with a lot of our nonsense that day.
She's a blessing. I'll just say that.
And Eric, one thing I want to get into, something that people here probably don't know, but Eric, you're probably one of the best pickup basketball players we have here. There was a night at Watterson Towers where you're wearing your sweatshirt and you were hitting three-pointers like it was nobody's business. Because
while on FaceTime.
Yeah. Not the whole time, but
30 minutes. You just had one hand phone, one hand on the ball.
Because we have Andrew Evola, who was like a high school basketball legend in Ottawa. and he was just getting mad that Eric was hitting so many shots. There was one where you just crossed the half court line, and Evola goes, "Shoot it, you won't." And you shoot it from half court, and you made it. And you were playing against Evola. He got so mad. And then this is one of my favorite stories ever. So you were wearing what you called your lucky hoodie or whatever. And so for our first basketball game at the rec, you wore that sweatshirt in McCormick Hall, where it was like 80 degrees in there.
I was dying.
And so the ref, I wasn't starting the game. You were starting. You were out there for the tip. And then the ref comes up to me and said, "Is that kid actually going to wear a sweatshirt the whole game? He's going to die." That's just something I'll always remember about Eric, how he's way better than he has any reason to be at basketball.
And then if we're going around telling our favorite Eric Schweizer stories.
I thought he was going to say something.
I don't want to take the floor away from you, Rick, if you got something to say.
I'm just a late night demon on the hoops. That's
all I'm saying. And on the sticks, a little Fortnite victory royale.
I don't take many L's.
Yeah, he does not.
Rick, my favorite Eric Schweizer story is when we went to cover the NCAA tournament this spring in Iowa City, me, you, and Leo. And man, did we have a good time. We were just like all over the place. It was such a fun trip, the three of us. Leo and I had spent 13 hours in a car together over the course of the previous week. So we would have killed each other if you weren't there. And it was just, you just brought so much life to that trip. And quick one time for the people, would you give us the noise that the buffalo makes? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But let's try to get this thing back on track.
I got one more. So it's kind of serious, I guess. But who do you think's the cutest out of us three? Geez. And why do you think it is Leo, though?
All right. Let's just go to the next question.
The blonde hair.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, last question here. What's next for Eric Schweizer? And back to the serious question.
Oh, that's a good question. I got some things in the works, but you never, I never like go into something thinking you're gonna like get it. I got some job interviews, but not completely sure what's next. Maybe I feel like I could do anything. I don't really necessarily want to do TV. I could do it if I wanted to, but I have print writing right now, applying for a job there. I actually have an interview tomorrow with a sports editor job, but also even some radio. Like, I want radio in my future. I just feel natural on the air. So that's a big thing that I want. Might not necessarily be my first job out of college, but yeah.
All right, and Eric, last thing. We've been doing it for everybody. It's shout-out time. Anybody that you want to thank for any part along your journey that's gotten you here?
Let's first shout-out Grandma Irma.
Yeah.
She's the one. Grandma Irma, she's the one that, was like, why not do what you love? And that was a good point. You might not make as much money as you want to at first, or it might be really hard to get in the sports industry with not playing any college sports or anything like that. But why not go into sports? That's what you're really passionate about. That's what you've always liked. So big shout out to Grandma Irma, and then obviously, Mom. I got to shout out Jake Fogle, because Jake Fogle, if he wasn't pushing me to try these student media, I would have gotten into TV10, but it might have been not till this year that I would have gotten into WCND. Yeah. Somebody might have reached out, but not as soon as I was able to and with the Vedette. So I got to shout out him, and then Matt Petrovich for helping me out at the Vedette as well. Always keeping things funny. But and then obviously all of you, my friends here at WCND. You're the biggest shout outs. I love you guys. Very thankful
we love you
for
too.
All you.
And we're thankful for having been able to work with you, to be your friend for these past few semesters. And when we come back, we're going to have some more seniors come on. Brendan McInerney is going to join the show next. That's coming up on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to the Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. Leo Stoddard, Joe Kennedy, and Joey Dwyer. I went out of order there, but our next guest is Brendan McInerney. Brendan comes as a news and sports intern, our basketball beat reporter. He's from the south side of Chicago, and he'll let you know that. But Brendan, just first things first, tell us what brought you to Illinois State and to WZND as well.
So, I'm a true Southsider, like you said, so that means it was always down either Illinois State or Western Michigan right out of high school. So.
Is that like the program that goes
yes,
through?
Yes, it
much?
Does. You visit both and you just make up
the
your mind.
Yeah. That's
you don't go on a tour at either two.
No.
You go visit homecoming weekend or something. That's where you're making up your decision off of.
But yeah, luckily I chose Illinois State, and then found my way to Z&D because I always knew I wanted to do something in journalism media, but obviously WZ&D, to get involved in WZ&D, and then for TV 10 for like a semester really kind of solidified that. So I like where I am. I like how we got here, basically. Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy.
And like, I know I've done some fun calls with you. We had a game against Bucknell, the craziest basketball game I think I've ever seen. Is that your favorite moment that you've called, or what's your favorite call that you've had here at Z&D?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that was, like you said, the craziest basketball game I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, that was back and forth. I'd like to see the probability, like, metrics on that. How I'm pretty sure I see you had, like, a 1% chance of winning.
It was like a mountain range.
Yeah,
like,
right,
going, like, up and down.
But, yeah, that was definitely the best game.
Yeah. Any stories then, too, either? Like a basketball beat or anything? Or?
Yeah, well, just overall, just covering a basketball team for the whole season, even though, obviously, the season could have gone better. But I just like getting that interaction with, you know, players and coaches and kind of just being around the team in general.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were personally affected. You were close to the basketball team. How hurt were you after the firing of Dan Mueller? Or I guess the mutual parting of Dan Mueller and Illinois State University?
Well,
I know you want to say something that you probably can't say.
Yeah, but I'll just say Ryan Peden is a great guy, but yeah. So is Dan Mueller. Yeah. Dan Mueller is a great guy. I think everyone around ISU respected him. But yeah, I think the future of the ISU basketball program is bright, and I guess I'll leave it at that.
That was a very nice way to put it.
And a kind of favorite memory or favorite moment that you had maybe down here in the station over the past couple of semesters you've had here, maybe something funny or just a good happy moment or something like
probably
that.
Just playing baseball in the hall. Right? Yeah. I mean, some that's never baseball. A bad time. Yeah, but obviously, yeah, being down here with obviously you guys, that's all the enjoyment I need down here.
And B-Mac's really spilling some insider secrets right now about our baseball games in the hallway.
I mean, hey, what's going to happen now? We're leaving here.
This is
our last show, guys.
Until they come yank us off the air. We're doing a 24-hour red zone.
Yeah, they don't know it yet.
But, I mean, obviously, I think the audience knows this, that Brennan and I are roommates, and I see it firsthand how much sports knowledge this guy has, that he knows just about everything about every professional sports league, every obscure league. I guess, how did that translate over to your coverage here at WZ&D? Because, I mean, you've only been with us for, I believe this is your third semester, but you've already kind of known everything that's known how to do. I mean, where did that love for sports start with you, and how did that help you with your job here, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just kind of how I grew up. Just grow up playing baseball, football, basketball with your friends every day after school, and then obviously you watch it on television. But yeah, definitely that sports knowledge definitely helped me kind of adapt to all the sports media work we do here. So it really was a pretty seamless transition.
And one of the other things that immense sports knowledge has helped you out with is in the world of sports gambling. We've got a lot of degenerate gamblers on the news and sports staff and in WZND in general, but you're rivaling for the top. I think that you're one of the ones.
Some good picks.
So. Yeah. No, BMAC is one of the most prolific bettors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Is there a parlay that you've hit or a bet? I know there's one really good one. It was the North Texas one last year. But is there a bet that you've hit that is just like the far and away the best wild pull you've ever had?
Well, I didn't want to admit this, but
well, we're putting you on the spot.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
I'm trying to think. Not too long ago, I think there was about 9-leg parlay, and it may have included not just U.S. major sports, but also, you know, 3 a.m. Australian basketball, and, you know, tennis that was being played in France at the time and stuff that I kind of just threw and it stuck. So sometimes you get lucky like that, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you do look at it just more than just looking at a box score or anything and analytics or whatever. Was that something that maybe in the future you could be like a sports writer about gambling? Or like what do you see? What's like your favorite or your dream job, I would say, in communications?
Yeah,
you might not get it like right away, but like down the line.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that too, because I'd say I'm more writing oriented, mm-hmm. and then you also, with how big sports gambling is getting, especially now, I feel like if there ever was a crossover between those two, that's something I'd definitely prioritize.
Yeah. So what is next? Like immediately, do you have anything lined up after you walk the stage here in 9 days?
Well, I had an interview about 20 minutes ago.
And, you came early
so hopefully, this summer I'll be doing an internship with Thunderbolts Frontier League team. So hoping that sticks and kind of just see where I go from there.
I guess I think we did with everyone but Eric, but what would be the piece of advice you'd give to your freshman yourself?
I'd say get involved way earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though I feel like I've known you guys and everyone here like all 4 years. Yeah, I just wish I could have as many semesters as Joey you've had here. That's
well, you gotta fail some classes to do that.
That's hilarious.
All right, last question we've been asking everybody. Is there anybody on the entire journey of the McInerney life that you want to give a quick shout out to?
Ooh, like shout out my parents, my dog, like Ricky from Ulick. I like to give him a shout out to.
Big one.
But yeah. I'll keep it at that.
What a great succinct list.
Yeah. That's Fred and McInerney for you in a nutshell. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Andrew Avola is going to join the show. That's next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
I'm Dan Muller, basketball coach of your Illinois State Redbirds, and you're listening to the Red Zone only on 103.3 WZND.
You heard Dan the Man, and this is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Leo Stoddard, Joe Dwyer, and Joey Kennedy. And our
Wait, what the heck?
I was going to see if anybody would catch that. Yeah. But our next guest is our final of our WZND News and Sports Seniors. That isn't the three of us. It's Andrew Avola. Andrew comes from Ottawa, Illinois. He's been with WZND since, I believe, our sophomore year, and he's also dabbled a little bit as the assistant production director, maybe sometimes the production director, depending on who you ask.
Well, yeah. We'll see about that.
Joey gets all the shade. I feel bad.
We'll start Andrew off the same way we start everybody here. What brought you to Illinois State and what brought you to WZND? Because you actually had an interesting journey too, so I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, you know, it was a definitely interesting journey how I got here, I guess. Originally out of high school, I had three options to get word where I wanted to go to school was Wesleyan, St. Francis, and Joliet, and Illinois State. The other two I was going to hopefully continue my basketball career, but I decided to, you know, hang it up for the time being and come to Illinois State because I really wanted to be a business teacher, high school business teacher, and coach high school sports. But after about a year and a half, I kind of realized that it wasn't really for me. Yeah. But and I knew that I had experience in calling some games in high school, and I knew I was interested in broadcasting and kind of like the media side of things and sports, and I made the switch to mass media radio, and I haven't looked back ever since.
And so when you first joined ZND, what was your first impression? Because you joined at a really weird time because you started your career here, and then all of a sudden COVID shut everything down. So it felt like you didn't really get an opportunity to fully experience it until last year.
Yeah, it was tough because, you know, I was really excited when I was hired on at WZND, and it was tough because I felt like I was just kind of starting to get my feet underneath me and, you know, get to know some of you guys a little bit. And then it kind of just completely got shut off, you know, from the world, obviously. And we were all at home for a long time. So that was a tough transition for me because I felt like I really was just kind of getting the hang of things and, you know, starting to feel more comfortable and, you know, kind of, you know, meet some of you guys and get to know you more. And it kind of just all went, you know, kind of went to hell. And just, you know, that was it. But it was tough. And then once I came back, though, I think really, though, that junior year, the COVID year, we were still obviously working and doing stuff here at the station. I really like it kind of brought a lot of us closer together that we're here every day because, you know, everybody was at school. And it was really a big learning experience because we got to do a lot more than the average person.
And I'd say with junior year, for most people, maybe outside of the school of comm, outside of WZND, you didn't have much interaction face-to-face with people, but I'd say I probably called a lot of games with Andrew in that spring of 21. Like, we probably did so many car rides from, because our apartments are across the street from each other, so we probably did so many rides from that cul-de-sac on Cherry Street over to Feld to Redbird Arena to Duffy Bass, and it felt like we were just working all the time. That it was every weekend we were doing a different sport.
It was nice.
And it was crazy, but that's, I mean, thinking about that too, that I guess I never considered that in the moment, that you were just figuring things out. These were the first games you ever did, and you were just getting so many reps, and I think that's one of the things that impressed me the most about how you handled that semester.
Yeah, it was tough. I was definitely really nervous that, you know, that first game. Like, I remember you asked me if I wanted to do the game, and like I did some games in high school, obviously, for like the, you know, the online networks or whatever to do high school girls basketball and football, and so like I had a little bit of it, but really not nearly as much as I probably would hope to have had going into that first game. But it definitely was very helpful to get as many games in as I did that spring semester.
And so in just a year of you getting a lot of reps and calling games, you've transitioned into a professional role. We joke about it a lot that we've got three professionals in the station, me, you, and Leo, and you do a lot of stuff throughout the year. You do Ottawa Pirates basketball. You do Marquette Crusaders basketball. You're dabbling in football, or not in football, but in softball and baseball now. And it seems like that was just a really quick transition from you not knowing a whole lot about the industry and about talent and being able to call these games effectively to now you getting paid to do it.
Yeah, it was definitely a, kind of a crazy, fast experience, I guess, to really get into the industry and doing stuff. Like you mentioned, like you do high school sports, and it was really just exciting for me because I really do enjoy it a lot. And it was, you know, tough at first. I've had a lot of nerve-wracking moments just kind of like going into whether I'm going on air for high school sports. And it's, you know, more nerve-wracking, I guess, for that because I know a lot of the people that are probably going to be listening in, and it's in Ottawa, and it was very nerve-wracking. But like getting that experience, I feel like really just has helped me so much as a broadcaster and just being on air and being more comfortable now that we're at the point where when I go on air, it just kind of, you know, flows and feels normal. And I'm really, you know, thankful for those experiences and, you know, to be able to get into that professional role.
And you're talking about all the games you've done. Do you have a memorable or favorite call that you've done here just at ZND? Ooh. Or maybe a funny moment that happened that's made it memorable? Just a good game that you
I go one of two ways here. Yeah. I got so
you
I
can go both. Like I a can, good
yeah,
game
so a good game. I mean, I don't know. I can't really narrow down one good game because I feel like, you know, as much as I loved doing men's basketball, obviously not very good the past few years, so none of the games are
some of them, yeah,
you know, were too exciting. But I know I would always get into it. I'm sure Leo and Joey can attest, and you too as well, yeah. Joe, if you've done games. I get so into it. I love Redbird sports, and I get so excited. So I mean, I can't really narrow down a specific favorite game. I mean, looking back on it, maybe Arch this year when we did that, just being in that environment and that kind of, you know, higher level stage, that was really fun those 2 days. And then a funny moment, probably, honestly, probably back spring semester when me and Joey Dwyer were doing a game, and may or may not have a hot mic moment in between the halftime of the game. And we did not know it to that point until Joey kind of told me in between the break that they heard me say a word that probably shouldn't be said on air. Yeah,
this might be the first time hearing this.
We kept it
under wraps for a little while. Yeah. It was a little bit of a miscommunication between us and the guy who was in studio. And, you know, it was Andrew's first semester getting to call games. And you got to, sometimes when you're in front of a mic, you got to pretend like the mic's always on. And that's a lesson that we all have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
I have an Andrew Avola memory that I want to hear your perspective of. I think it was October, November. McCormick Hall. WZND basketball is down 2 points. Seconds are dwindling away. Avola gets the ball, takes a shot, buzzer beater. We storm the court. Take us about that. Because basically our rec basketball team was a bunch of guys that love sports but aren't very good at sports. And then Avola, who could have played collegiate basketball. And he was putting up Wilt Chamberlain numbers. So tell us a little bit about that buzzer beater or how much you disliked playing with a bunch of scrubs like us.
No, I wouldn't say I disliked. Obviously, I'm a very competitive person, as you guys know. And, it, you know, sometimes it's tough when, you know, maybe some of the teammates aren't doing some of the right things. But it was definitely a learning experience.
We were trying as hard as we could.
You guys were trying. I appreciate that. But, you know, just as me as a competitor, you know how it is sometimes. You get frustrated with teammates. But, you know, it happens. But that game, I mean, I wanted the ball in my hands. I knew it. I was yelling for it. I don't remember who passed it to me.
It was Carter Getty.
I think it was Carter Getty that passed it to me. But I remember I was sitting there and I was just lurking deep because I was like, you know what? I was like, screw it. I'm gonna take this shot. And I go, no one else is gonna. I'm like, I might as well. And I was calling for it and I shot it. And I'm sure you guys can attest this. I turned around immediately because I knew it felt beautiful from the release. And I turned around. I'm like, if this doesn't go in, I'm gonna look like the biggest idiot trying to ever step on a basketball court. But you know, it went in, and you know, the rest is history.
And talking about memories and living it up with the station and whatever, we spend more time together than anybody else on the news and sports staff, except for maybe like Cammy, Moritz, and Leo, because you're my assistant director, or I'm your assistant director, depending on who you ask. But we spend so much time together in that office, and a lot of the stuff that we do is not production work. We do a lot of trivia games. We do a lot of GeoGuessr. Is there something that we've done in the office that really, like, peaks at, in your memories, the peak of us not doing work?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I feel like it's always something different. I mean, it's either like a rotation of like five things. I mean, it could literally be either Sporkle, it could be, you know, GeoGuessr, it could be, you know, the Wordle, the Weddle,
the Portal.
Whatever, the Portal. Yeah, like it doesn't matter. Like it really doesn't matter. I mean, or even just throwing a ball around at each other in the office and it gets out of control because one of us decides to throw it a little bit harder than anticipated. I mean, it's really, there's just so much stuff that it sounds bad. It's going to sound like we literally don't do anything. We do. We just get our stuff done and then it's kind of like free play for the rest of the day. Yeah, that's basically how I look at it. But I mean, there's just so many different things. I mean, I can't really pick one because we have a good time doing it all. It doesn't really matter. It could be listening to music or whatever.
So now getting near the end of things, what's next for Andrew Avola? Because you've got some things lined up, I believe, right?
Yeah. So this summer, I'm going to be joining the Pistol Shrimp again. It's my internship that I did last year. I'm the PA announcer for that. So I'm really excited to get back with them this year. It's going to be really fun because it's their second season in the Illinois Valley, and it's kind of going to be more ramped up. Along with that, I mean, I'm going to hopefully continue to do high school sports in Ottawa for the radio there, and that's kind of what I got lined up, and maybe a little pizza and side there as well.
Looking down for maybe the future, do you have a dream job or a dream thing that you would want to do as like a sports journalist?
I mean, obviously, you just kind of see how it goes. A dream job always has been, you know, be a broadcaster for a professional team. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I would enjoy any sport, probably.
Even the White Sox?
Yeah.
I would.
Even the White Sox, as much as I dislike the White Sox, and the Cardinals, too. Those would be, probably, it'd be
Packers
tough.
Might be hard, though.
The Packers, I've always said the Packers, there's no chance you could catch me calling a game for the Green Bay Packers and being, unless it was like I was a visiting team, there's no way. But the White Sox and the Cardinals, as much as I love professional baseball, I probably would do that. But really just any team is probably the dream job for me. Yeah.
And so, as we get to the end, we've been asking everybody, is there anyone you want to shout out on your whole journey from being a standout for the Ottawa Pirates to being a standout with WZND?
Well, first, shout out to my parents supporting me and changing my major. That was tough because I may or may not have failed a couple of business classes and to contribute to my decision to switching majors. So shout out to them. I mean, shout out to Maritza. She was the one that hired me onto WZND back in the spring of 2020. I mean, shout out to you guys. I mean, all my friends here at WZND. Friends, probably my friends from hopefully for the remainder of my life. I mean, appreciate all you guys so much and all the lessons that I've learned, even just from, you know, observing you guys and being around such great people all the time.
And we'll see you in Tomahawk this summer.
And we'll see you in Tomahawk this summer.
The boys will be back.
And it's been great to get to work with you, to be your friend these past few semesters, to see you tear it up on the court as well. We can't wait to see what's next for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get things back maybe on track, talk some Redbird sports, some of our favorite Redbird sports memories. That's next on the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.